All right, thank you. We're going to start with the next presentation.
All right, thank you for coming. Can you hear me back there? That's great, thank you. So my name is Mateusz Belicki and I'm a compiler engineer at Intel. And today I'm going to talk about a downstream compiler project that we have. It's an Intel compiler, but for GPUs. And well, why did I come here in the first place? So I would like to share like this experience which we have of maintaining and doing a downstream compiler. I think this is the case for many LLVM-based projects that they work as a sort of a downstream compiler, and maybe they have similar issues to what we had, or maybe they are thinking about doing things the same way so they can see if our results would work for them or not. I think it also might be interesting or valuable to LLVM developers and maintainers to see how their project is used and maybe sometimes even a little bit abused. yeah. And well, and I also hope that I will gather some comments, some feedback. Maybe somebody who is also doing something similar has better ideas to what we did. So without further ado, what is IGC and how it relates to LLVM? So IGC, as I started talking before, stands basically for Intel Graphics Compiler. And this is a SPMD compiler that targets GPU, where SPMD means single program, multiple data. This is a kind of a paradigm that is very popular among GPU programming models. When you have a singular program that is executed on multiple instances of data at the same time, right? A little bit like SIMD, but here the vectorization is completely implicit. You only program from the scalar point of view, you only see a single program, but underneath it is working on a multiple amount of our own custom passes that work together. We currently are not using the LLVM CodeGen infrastructure in any capacity. What we do have is a custom pass-based emitter which performs vectorization at the same time, lowering the LLVM IR into another custom IR, which is called VISA. And what you see at the bottom of the slide, this is basically how the target ISA look like, what we are trying to emit here. So this is basically our assembly, and I think the most interesting part that you can see at glance is that it's explicitly vector instructions. So we have this impedance difference between what comes to us in form of scalar program and what we emit in terms of a vector program. So So to do what we do, we are using the LLVM C++ API. So basically we use all the same functions and classes which you would normally would use to create an LLVM pass if you were writing it as a part of LLVM. We cannot really use C API here, although it's stable and that would be great for us, but it's really limited in terms of what it allows. So basically this API is mostly designed for frontends to create LLVM IR and then to push it through the rest of the LLVM infrastructure. But in our case, we actually want to modify this LLVM infrastructure to serve our needs. So this is one thing. And the other thing is our open source model here. So IGC is, as I said before, part of the graphics driver. And for the graphics driver, we do both closed source and open source releases. And the same goes for IGC. So basically there are two flavors of IGC. There is a closed source IGC that contains some proprietary code that is not available in the open source IGC. And there is an open source IGC which is freely available at any time. Here is a GitHub repository if you'd like to see it. So we are also part of some of the GNU Linux distributions like Arch, Ubuntu, or Debian. So this is how this works from the distribution point of view. When it comes to development, we sadly develop closed source first. So when we commit some changes, we basically do this to the closed source repository, and then we have some infrastructure that takes care of replicating this for open source. So we basically have a system of annotating parts of the code which are sensitive and shouldn't reach public eye yet, and this script basically cuts them off, and then we also have some CI infrastructure that checks if everything works. And this allows us to generally have both closed and open source repositories that are pretty much in sync when it comes to latest changes. So this is the picture of how everything looks like around IGC. So why do we need to support multiple LVM versions in the first place? So as I said before, we are striving to be part of open source distributions. And this means that we have to fit into the distro. So basically, all the Linux distributions have a set of LLVM versions that they support out of the box that they already have in their package managers. And what the maintainers of the distributions really want to see from the packages that come into the distro is that they use what already is there, so that we use already present LLVM versions. So this creates this pressure for us to keep updating LLVM on our end and always to be able to compile with the latest version of LLVM that is supported by the distros that we target. And on the other hand, we have this closed source Windows version of our compiler, which is still on LLVM 9. And there we doesn't really see this kind of pressure to update. And because of that, we mostly see drawbacks of updating. So each LLVM update brings to us both some performance improvements and some performance regressions. And, well, we only want the latter, not really the former. So we have to always come and remove the regression, and this creates additional effort. At the same time, the improvements doesn't really seem to feel worthy of that. So on the Windows end, we see a lot of less reason to update. That's why the updates there are slower. And this creates this kind of discrepancy when we have a range of supported LLVMs by a single code base. So how do we do that? So when you try to support multiple versions of a C++ library similar to LLVM, a number of issues comes into play. So first of all, there are changes in optimizations that So the changes in LLVM functionality and how the things are done in there that create changes in the performance of the code generated by the compiler. Those kinds of changes also occasionally cause some bugs on our side. For example, when new intrinsic or a new IR instruction is introduced, we also have to take care of it and handle it on our end. There is, for example, this pass that combines many peephole optimization, which is called instruction combiner. And this is probably the most problematic pass in terms of supporting multiple versions because it brings different results each time. and it does it to the extent that at some point we decided to just fork instruction combiner and keep it on a singular version and not really use the upstream one. But really, those cases are hard to generalize, and we usually have to work on each of them and then create a fix on our side. But what is much more easier to generalize in our case is the API changes. And to do that, we do have a part of code that we call LLVM wrapper. And this is basically a small wrapper-like library that provides a single unified API that allows us to call functions from LLVM 9 to 15 with a single interface, basically. So So the biggest benefit of having that in one place is that we don't really have this bunch of if-devs scattered around our code. And when we come and when we start to abandon the old versions and don't support them anymore, we just can go remove a singular call from the wrapper library and then just change this call in our code, and it's a fairly straightforward process. So if you're interested how the wrapper looks like, it's available here. It's a headers only library. So the conventions that we use when developing this is that we try to mirror the LLVM header structure as much as we can. So it's fairly obvious where to look for the calls when you try to add them or when you try to remove them. And the other important thing is that for each wrapper function that we add, we try to follow the signature of the function as it comes from the latest supported version. So in the future, when we can drop the wrapper, we just can replace it with a call to the new version of the library. So how does it look like in practice? So for most cases, really, it's very simple, and we just see places where we get functions, we get methods that change their name a little bit, or maybe change the arguments that they receive. So most of the cases are like this. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have to go on and try to add something which is not available yet. This is one such case when we basically had to pull an implementation into our headers so we can use it temporarily for various versions of LLVM. In worst cases, it can be whole classes, but I don't think there are many of them. I think this is the only one that we have right now. And when it comes to types, it usually can be handled by a simple type alias, so it's not that much. So how does it look like in terms of numbers? So right now we have 52 headers, including 224 wrapper functions that allow us to seamlessly support LLVM from 9 to 15. As you can see from this table, so this table basically follows the the header directories that we use, and as you can see, most of the wrapper types or functions are contained in the IR directory. This basically shows that this is the directory that we both use the most, and probably the one that is mostly being developed upstream. Hence the changes. So, what about the future plans? So, as you may have seen, I was referring to LLVM 9 to 15, and we already have LLVM 17 released, and we will have LLVM 18 soon. So, when it comes to updating beyond LLVM 16, we have the small issue of of the OPAC pointers. So basically the OPAC pointers change. This was a big change that was introduced with LLVM 14, but back then it wasn't mandatory. But with LLVM 16, it became the default mode of operations for LLVM. And the changes work like this, that it basically removes the type of the pointy type information from the pointer passed in the LLVM IR, right? So we have this pretty simple code that doesn't involve any additional type annotations. So the unfortunate fact is that we heavily rely on the pointer information in our code base. So there are plenty of places where this information can be where the type pointer, like dependency, can be fully removed because we have the information available elsewhere, or perhaps it's not even needed, but it was used there for some other reason. But for the GPU targets, we have a specific issue that we have some types that were really good to be modeled as the type pointers with the opaque struct type. So for the GPUs, there are things like samplers, images, etc. And these are generally handles that are passed from the runtime through the kernel code and then are given somehow to the hardware. And well, so we really have to know what is coming inside this type of pointer. So we really have to know what it is, because we have to emit the right instruction. So depending on sampler, depending on type of image, this will be resolved to a different kind of load, or maybe not even load, but something more sophisticated. And well, this information is really needed there, and we couldn't really get it with the bare pointers, with the opaque pointers, because we only see them a pointer type that is passed to the kernel. So this is the entry point for us, and then is somehow used, but we don't really know. We don't really know what this pointer represents. So this type of change obviously cannot be handled by the mechanism that I showed before. It cannot be handled by a wrapper. So we cannot conjure the pointy type information from the opaque pointer, at least not always, and at least not like for free. We could do some analysis, but this would cost time. But this would cost us the compilation time, which we cannot really have. But fortunately, there are already some changes that has been introduced to LLVM, and I'm talking about it, LLVM API. We will be still using at this point the type pointers. From there, we could go to LLVM 16, but then we would be doing LLVM transition and also starting to go from type pointers to target extension types, which we don't really want to do at the same time. So we decided that we will take this target extension type patch. It's actually a pretty small patch that is quite self-contained, so it's not that easy to port back. So we are going to port it back to LLVM 14 and use this version with this patch to slowly move to the typed to target extension types, and from then, when we are happy with our results, we'll move on to LLVM 16. At the same time, dropping support for everything that we had before. So, coming to conclusions, it is actually possible to support multiple versions of LLVM. It is a little bit of pain, but on the other hand, if you look back at the numbers that I displayed before, the wrapper isn't really that big. So it's like 200 wrapper functions, but when you think about all the functions that LLVM is exposing, there is really a plenty of them, and this is a really small percentage of that. And also, you know, it's distributed in time, so it's not like you are writing 200 functions up front. You are just slowly adding them and removing over the time as the window of supported version changes. So this shows that to some extent a stable IPA perhaps could be created if there was such need in the community. But even if such API was created, it would be probably pointless, because when you do the engineering the way we did it, you in the end still have the risk that you will come to the big changes like the opaque pointers, when you will have to basically come and switch to the newer version with dropping everything else. So well, that's mostly what I had prepared today. Thank you for listening, and I'm open for questions. Yeah, I know, sorry. Please go on.
Did you consider using the LLVM C API, which is supposedly most stable?
Yes. So the question was if we considered using C API, which is stable. And yeah, we did, but the C API doesn't offer what we need. So Sorry, I'm asked to repeat the question. So the question was, if we consider to use the C API. Yes, we did. Unfortunately, the C API doesn't support what we need. So C API allows creating new IR, so basically building IR from the parser tree state that you would have. In our case, we don't really want to do this. We already have LLVM IR provided by SPRV translator in our case. What we really want to do is to modify this and create our custom LLVM passes. That's why we need the C++ API, unfortunately. Please go on. Sorry, can you speak up? I cannot hear you from here. So how do we deal with that? We fix them for the version. Ah, sorry. sorry. I'm forgetting about repeating the question. So the question was how we deal with the bugs that are in the older versions but are not in the newer versions. So, and the answer is that we fix them in the version in the version in which they appear. And if the fix is applicable to the newer version, obviously it's not a problem. If not, we will have to somehow wrap it up. But such cases are really, really rare. So usually we don't really see any things that are wrong in the LLVM code. Code is usually what is wrong in our code, and we can handle that on our side regardless of the LLVM version.
Maybe I misunderstood before, but were you saying that you were going to phase out the older supported version?
So the question is if we are going to phase out older versions. Yes, we are going to phase out older versions because we are not able to support them and LVM 16 at the same time. So, I mean, technically we would be, but we decided that the cost of supporting both opaque pointers and type pointers is not really worth it.
But then the distributions that you were supporting previously now, or the Linux that has...
So, question right now is about distributions and if they will see a dropped support. So, first of all, they still have the versions that were already released that cover the older LLVM versions. And when it comes to the LLVM versions, LLVM 16 is not really cutting edge right now, right? We will have LLVM 18 in a matter of days, I believe. And well, so we are a little bit backwards, right?
Have you considered upstreaming your backend for your custom ISA, or is it like the closed part that you
have? So the question is if we have considered upstreaming our backend. So yes, we did. It's not really in an upstreamable state right now, I would say. So basically, so it's all open source. You can go and check how it looks. So we basically have a very thin pass that is emitting the VISA code, the other IR, and then we have a separate library that is handling the VISA for us and is written in a completely different style than LLVM, etc. It's not really a good fit to be merged with LLVM. But yeah, we are seriously thinking about upstreaming and upstreaming as much as we can. And basically, like this presentation and the fact that we had to put so much effort shows that you know it's really worth to work in upstream.
So, going a little bit in the direction of the earlier question is, why do you need to support multiple versions of LLVM if you basically have to ship your own anyway because you replace and combine and everything?
So. So the question was why we want to support multiple versions and if we have our custom fork LLVM that we ship or if we use a system one. So I will start from the end. We are using the system provided version of LLVM. That's why we want to support a range, although a very narrow range in the open source. And going back to LLVM9 comes from the fact that we also support the Windows compiler, which is on the older version because of the effort that comes with the performance regression that the upgrade brings.
How can you then patch the LLVM4 to use TEP, for example, if you use this as a provider
module? Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Your plan is to patch the LLVM version to support TEP, right?
Yes, yes. Okay, so the question was, so I mentioned in the slides that we are going to patch LVM14 to support TAT, and at the same time I said before that we are using the system version of LLVM. So, sorry, I haven't explained that pretty well before. So basically, the patched LLVM will be only internally for our development, and when we are ready, we will just we'll just say that we are supporting LLVM16 right now. But, you know, this patch version is only to ease the development on our side. It's not a release version.
One possible way around the binary thing is to distribute your modified version of LLVM, or at least package it all up as one. Yes, yeah. you're going to have two copies of LLVM libraries, but that might get you out of the whole.
Yeah, so the question was about having distributing binarily more than one copy of LLVM. So this is an option, and this is probably something that we will have to do occasionally, but this is also something that we don't really want to do because we have, believe it or not, a tight budget for size of the graphics driver. So you know, you have this graphics driver, it is a very big blob, it is like 200 megabytes that the user downloads from time to time, and really the marketing is pushing us to make it as small as it possibly can. So even a megabyte is a big difference in this case. All right, I don't think we have any other questions. Thank you.